Bible's true gospel is 24. This will be our knowledge truth that we look at. We'll allude to many others, but this is the main one that we'll look at. I want you to think about your life tonight. Is my life, the life that I'm living, is it a life of conviction? Or am I living a life of compromise? Joshua, in his day, he challenged the people of his day. And I want to challenge the people of my day. I'm really thankful for a lot of the people in my generation that I see still faithfully following the Lord, and the ones that walk before us and bore the heat of the day. Praise God. Of that. But as I journey toward the end of my path, as I close my eyes in death, I pray to see a city, a great army, God's children still carrying on the battle of the Lord Jesus Christ. In great conviction, a great consecration, I pray that you'll serve all that's true and living God. So Joshua stood before the people of his day and said in Joshua 24:15, "Esteem evil unto you to serve the Lord, and choose you this day whom you will serve. But the gods that your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose lands you now dwell, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a statement of conviction. I tell you, Joshua and Caleb were men of conviction and made all the difference in their life. And it consecrated them to the Lord so that the scripture says about them that they wholly followed the Lord. Now, the other men of their generation were compromisers. You remember that they took a stand when they went to spy the land. And they believed God, and they believed God's word. And they didn't compromise, but they stood on their convictions. They said, "We can go in, but we can take the land." And they held to their convictions. And they even lived through the 40 years of the wilderness. And at 80 years old, they went in, and they possessed mightily the land of Canaan. And none could stand before them. And they put the nets on all the enemy, their feet on all the nets of all the enemies of God. And so their convictions led them to a life of consecration. The other 10 spies, the ones that compromise, said it's too big, it's too hard, the giants are too tall, we'll never be able to do it. Their compromise led to corruption in their lives, and it said that their bodies dropped, their carcasses died in the wilderness. You're either going to live a life of conviction, or you're going to live a life of compromise. Your life is going to head toward more consecration for God. Consecration means that something is set apart for the worship and service of God. That's what biblical convictions lead you toward and what God uses them for. But when we compromise, it leads us to corruption in our lives. So I just want to talk about that for a little bit. When you really examine me, to examine my life, am I living a life of conviction or a life of compromise? Number one, a life of conviction will separate you from the world. The world doesn't have convictions. You might even say tonight, "Brother Nathan, why a life of conviction? Convictions are hard. We've heard this week, you've got to live up to them. You've got to make your walk match your talk. That's hard. I don't want to be that way. I want to be a compromising person. I want to go and enjoy things of the world and I want to enjoy the things of the church." That's not possible. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. So a life of conviction, why so important? Because it really separates you from the world. God says, "Come ye out from among them." And what? "Be ye separate, and I will be a God to you, and ye shall be my people." God's people are known. They are identified by the biblical convictions that they hold. And those convictions separate you from the world. You're a person of compromise. You're just like a chameleon. You can blend in just about anywhere. But you don't know what you are. Neither does anybody. stand up like Joshua and Caleb? Am I willing to make the hard choices of life and believe God? And even though a lot of times, you know, the people that make the greatest impact in Christianity and in the world, they've been men and women of conviction. And they often suffered and they often were afflicted. But brothers and sisters, consider their end. That now, as in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, they have hung their shields on the hall of faith in heaven. And they are a great compass of witnesses that are cheering us on as well. The life of conviction also mirrors the life of Christ. If you want to be like Jesus, if he's your role model, you can't help but be a person of conviction. We hear him all the time saying things like this: I must needs go through Samaria. He says, the scripture says that he set his face towards Jerusalem, that he endured his cross, despising of the shame of it, and his whole life was based on the convictions that he had from the Word of God and as God and as the Son of God. So, life of conviction separates you from the world and it mirrors the life of Christ. The life of conviction also protects you from Satan. Well, that's a big one. Don't you know tonight Satan's got a plan to destroy your life, to destroy your church, to destroy your marriage, to destroy you, the witness. One of the greatest things that you can have is to have biblical conviction set up in your life that you will not turn from no matter what Satan brings against you. I love the temptation of Christ and how even he was in his weakest moment as a man, Satan came to him and tempted him. It would have been terrible for you and me, but I love what Jesus said, the prince of this world coming, he had no part in me. And so he defeated him because of his convictions. We're in the Word of God. He said over and over again, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God, him alone shalt thou serve. So, conviction, a life of conviction leads to a life of consecration, which leads to the glory of God. Let's look at the flip side. A life of compromise will lead to corruption. You will begin, as you compromise your life, you will begin to doubt your beliefs, and you'll begin to believe your doubts. That's what Satan wants. That's what the world system is set up to do, is to make us doubt our beliefs. And they want us to believe our doubts. But people of conviction, they doubt their doubts, and they believe their beliefs because they're based in the veracity God himself. The life of compromise doesn't do that. It begins to cause us to be what I call a half-faith Christian. You know what a half-faith Christian is? It's exactly what Brother Jerry and some others have described. The scripture says, actually in the Old Testament, Ephraim, right? Ephraim is a cake, what? Unturned. See, ovens back then were like our oven now. You can put a cake in the oven and it'll heat on one side and heat on the other. Back then in the Old Testament, you put a cake in the oven, you had to heat it on one side and then turn it to the other. Well, a person that is a person of compromise, a person that their life is going to lead to corruption, they're always half-baked. They're not turned. See, conviction means that you're turning and you'll be made complete in Christ through biblical convictions. See, compromise is the language of the devil. It was at the very beginning, wasn't it? With Adam and Eve, he whispered in Eve's ear, "Have God said?" What was he trying to get her to do? Doubt and believe. Like and believe. So that great compromise, instead of being men of conviction and women of conviction and say, no, we believe God. And God has blessed us and been good to us and given me the hammy say instead they mocked the lot. There was something better than what God has offered. And he tells them to be blessed exactly as our first parents. Right, so I've contrasted two things for you in the life of Joshua and in these thoughts. Will you live a life of conviction that will lead to consecration to the glory of God? Or will you choose to live a life of compromise, the easy way, the way where you don't upset anybody or make anybody feel uncomfortable or cause yourself any undue moments of sacrifice or tediousness, which will lead to corruption in your life and probably in generations to come? All right, so here is where I need your help. I want to call out a person from the Bible. And I want you to say out loud, I'm giving you permission to talk. Alright? I'm going to call out a person's name. You tell me whether they're a person of conviction or a person of compromise. Y'all ready? Well, y'all help me out first. There were two men that were born. First men born after the fall. Two brothers. What were their names? Anybody? Cain and Abel. That's right. Cain and Abel. So, tell me, Cain was a man of compromise. Abel was a man of conviction, right? Cain worshipped God the way that he wanted to. He compromised. The true worship of God. He didn't want to sacrifice. He didn't want to shed blood of sacrifice and remission. He wanted to bring the fruits of his own hands, of his own labor, to say, God, you accept what I want you to accept. Then it led to him murdering. It led to his compromise. It led to corruption. It led to him murdering. And then being what? Exiled away from the family of God. And so that he is called that wicked one. Abel, the scripture says that he was a man of faith. In Hebrews, in the hall of faith, Hebrews 13. A man of faith that believed in sacrifice. And it says that his righteous blood called to God from the ground. And so he was a man of conviction. All right, two more men. We'll talk about Joseph and Samson. What was Joseph? He was a man of conviction. Samson was a man of compromise. You know, I love Samson. And what's wonderful about this, I want to leave everybody here with hope, because I know we all have to make the best of our lives. And I'm not saying if you have lived a life of compromise, that it's just over for you. A lot of these people, Abraham messed up, Jacob messed up, but God worked in their lives and brought them through things, and they became men and women of solid core convictions and brought great glory to God. And even though Samson had a terrible corruption because of this compromise, in the end, God was merciful to him. And he's even mentioned in the Hall of Faith too. But we think about Joseph, how he endured temptation from Potiphar's wife. That's a man of conviction. He could have said, you know what? God's just kind of forsaken me here. I'm away from my family. I don't have any church. And my master's away. And so, you know, why not? Why not just give in to this woman? Just give in to this lust, which every man and every woman are going to face that battle. But Joseph said, a man of conviction said, how can I do this sin in the sight of God? That's a man of conviction. And so he also incurred affliction too as he went into the prison. But we see how God used his convictions and used his character to use him, even though people meant evil against him. He said that in his life, God meant it for good. What a man of conviction. And how God honored him. This conviction led to consecration, which led to the glory of God, so that Jacob, his old daddy, before he died, he blessed all of his sons. And he said about his son Joseph that he was a shepherd and the stone of Israel. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful to have those things said about you and me by the grace of God? God will bless us to live a life of conviction and consecration to Him. Samson, no lobs and cakes. gave in to temptation. He compromised his secret strength by entering into relationships that were ungodly. And then we know that led to his corruption, that he was blinded, that he was enslaved. And we're so thankful that in the end, the God brought him to be a Nazarite for him again, and his hair grew out. And in the end he said, God, let me die with my enemies. When this thing of the unlimited potential of what he could have been, if we had lived the conviction that he had been taught to you, not compromise his life away for temporary pleasures that ended up finding him. Because Samson was really his own tactic. He really was. Okay, let's talk about how does your guy, let's get the girl somebody, okay? The two women here, Ruth and Sapphira. Ruth was a woman of conviction. Sapphira was a woman of right. Oh, listen to the dedication of Ruth. After she had even lost her husband, you know, and seen Naomi lose her husband and Orpah. What kind of God is this? I just leave women stranded like this, but she saw something in them that was more real and vital and precious than that she'd ever known in Moab. And she's told Naomi, I entreat you not to ask me to leave you or from turn from following after you. This is a conviction for where you go, I will go. Your God, my God, your people, my people, where you'll be buried, I'll be buried there. And she didn't just say it, did she? Oh, she lived it all out. Her convictions led to consecration so that she found the kinsman redeemer and became the great grandmother of the sweet psalmist of Israel. Is that how you want your life story to go? Live a life of conviction. That don't mean it's always going to be easy for you, but it's going to be worth it all. And, excuse me, what about Sapphira? Don't know if you want to name your children after jewelry. Might not. That might be a good omen for him, right? So Sapphira, she compromises, doesn't she? Isn't it a compromise? Oh, we sold this land and we gave it all to the apostles just like everybody else. Oh, really? Did you? Oh, no, you didn't. You just gave your heart and kept about the heart from yourself. Probably all not Ananias and Sapphira. Just slowly back, let's give God half of us for a part, not all. It's a compromise. It's a compromise. And so her compromise led to corruption. Not only did she steal, and God, for this she lied, bold faced lie. Peter gave her a chance after her husband had already been drug off. He said, did you and your husband give everything to the Lord? Dead on the floor in a moment, split down by the Spirit of God. Compromise led to corruption. Two more. Daniel and Balaam. Balaam was a man of. Some of y'all know Balaam. Yeah, man of compromise. Daniel was a man of. Oh, yes, he was, wasn't he? Oh, he wouldn't. He would eat those meats and dainties that they provided. He come to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they, you know, they lived out their convictions. When the only thing that the conviction could be this way, if somebody tried to find out something bad about you, that the only thing they could find bad is that you prayed on. Boy, I wish it was that way for me. The life of conviction, and even when they said, if you pray, you're going to be thrown in the lion's den, and he just goes home and he just throws the windows open like nothing had even been said and nothing had changed, because the situation did not dictate his convictions. He prayed. God saw the mouth of lions. Daniel spoke to power. He saw the deliverance of the exiles and saw them go back to the land of Jerusalem again. Balaam, that wicked prophet. prophet that was a prophet for hire. He'd say anything about anybody as long as you gave him a little bit of money. All the love of money is the root of all evil. I'll never forget preaching at a Primitive Baptist church one night, and one of the main deacons of the church wasn't there for the morning service, but he was there for the afternoon. And he got up and he said, "Brethren, I'm sorry that I wasn't here for the morning service, but a person came to buy my tractor and they offered me cash money." And I'll never forget the way that he said, "Cash money." I was like, "Oh my dear." You know, and he said, "I just couldn't turn down that cash money." He said, "So, everybody, well, then certainly you should have come to church this morning because it was cash money." You know, I was like, "Man, I wouldn't even go to church and sit. Even if I did feel that way, I wouldn't have said it in front of God's people." But are we much different? How often we compromise our commitment to the church, to the service of God, with a pleading, the most pitiful of excuses sometimes. Balaam, Tom, prophet for hire, taught by idolatry, taught by going to corruption. You're supposed to be this huge prophet. He's going to try to curse God's people, and his donkey refuses to go, and he starts beating the donkey. And this is how we get when we're compromised. We don't have any truth. We're lost. We don't have any moral compass. That's Balaam was so blind, and that donkey said, "You can beat me to death, but you're so stupid, don't you see that angel right there that's going to kill both of us, and I'm not even dying today." You must have had a compliment. I'll say anything. You just compliment me and pat my pocket. I'll do anything. Cash money. So, that's basically it. Right here in this room, tell you what your conviction should be. That's really between you and God. We are here to tell you that there's a meaning to that. They're going to lead you to consecration and live a life before your God. They must be found in the Word of God. They must be carried out. Number one in humility. Number two.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.